Welcome to this week's edition of Liberation Radio, podcast of the Party for Socialism and Liberation. Each week we bring you interviews and analysis on the struggles affecting poor and working people throughout the U.S. and the world, building the movement for socialism in the United States. I'm your host, Sean Garcia.
We're here on Liberation Radio with Gloria LaRiva, longtime activist around Cuba and Latin American solidarity issues. And we are talking today about a very exciting new initiative that is coming out of the former National Committee to Free the Cuban Five, which is a new Cuba and Venezuela Solidarity Committee. So, Gloria, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And I want to start a little bit sort of behind what you're doing now, because I think it's important, especially for those who may not know, given that the Cuban Five have now been free for a little bit now, the work of the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five that really birthed the ability to take on this new effort that you all are doing. So could you talk a little bit about how the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five formed and a little bit about the work that you did?
Sure. Well, in 1998, five Cuban men were arrested by the FBI and placed in a show trial, railroading into prison. They were in prison from ranging from 13 to 16 years. And the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five was formed in the United States as soon as they were convicted in 2001. For 13 years, we struggled in this country in solidarity with people all around the world and in the U.S., for the freedom. On December 17, last year, 2014, in a very surprise announcement by both Cuban President Raul Castro and President Obama, the remaining three who were in prison were flown home on December 17th, and the five are now enjoying wonderful freedom with their families, traveling around the world, especially through Latin America, to express appreciation to all the people who supported them. And therefore, the reason for the existence of the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five did end on the day that they were freed. But for several months now, we've been talking with people, organizing ideas, and finally came up with the new organization that is being launched this week. And it's called the Cuba and Venezuela Solidarity Committee. And why we say Cuba and Venezuela is that they're the two key countries in Latin America and the Caribbean which have been instrumental in the unity process of countries under the ALBA label, that is the Bolivarian Alliance of the Peoples, which was formed more than 10 years ago. And is a great, great example of the need for Latin America and the Caribbean to break away from U.S. domination and to undergo their own independent development, which mm-hmm. Cuba and Venezuela represent.
And I want to go back to the regional view in a little bit, but I want to address one question that I think some people may have, seeing, okay, well, Cuba's involved in this, but hasn't the U.S. opened up relations with Cuba? Isn't Obama trying to get the flights by Christmas? I mean, why do we need solidarity with Cuba? Because isn't it a fact that what many people in this country have desired for years, which is normalized relations, is now the case?
That was what people thought on the day of the December 17th announcement, that everything was fine, now we can travel to Cuba. And of course, there's millions in the U.S. who want to go to Cuba and see for themselves. But in fact, one of the biggest factors of the U.S. aggression against Cuba, the blockade, is by no means over. It's an economic, financial, and commercial blockade of the country for more than 50 years. As a matter of fact, in late October, Cuba's Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez spoke at the United Nations, in which he gave several facts of the solid existence of the blockade and new aggressions, for example, banks that are still being fined by billions of dollars for carrying on transactions with Cuba and other countries targeted by the U.S., that medicines are still unavailable, certain medicines that are not produced in Cuba, and the great, great harm of Cuba not being able to trade with the U.S., or the travel ban. In a matter of fact, people are traveling in droves to Cuba in violation of the travel prohibition. You know, it's outrageous that we can't travel to Cuba. But in fact, now, a new administrative judges have been assigned in the Treasury Department to now go back retroactively and fine people who they say are in violation of U.S. law by traveling to Cuba. So there is a great need for our organization and other organizations to keep publicizing the fact that the U.S. policy toward Cuba continues to be one of aggression, of denial of Cuba's right to its own territory. Guantanamo still is being controlled and occupied by the United States, the blockade, and other machinations and plots against Cuba by the U.S.
In addition, in terms of how we view the word solidarity, do you view at this moment, while there's great challenges, also great opportunities for people-to-people contact, particularly amongst younger people who are rising up all over the hemisphere?
I think more than just solidarity, the responsibility of people from the United States is to expose and denounce, act against the U.S. government's plots and aggression against the Venezuelan Bolivarian Revolution and the Cuban Revolution. We're at a critical moment for Venezuela, in which the very day that Hugo Chavez took office as president in 1999, the U.S. has never stopped in its plot to try to overthrow that revolutionary government, which continues under President Nicolas Maduro. And it entails not only the 72-hour overthrow of Hugo Chavez in 2002, the oil sabotage of the industry, the financing of tens of millions, perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars to a right-wing opposition that has carried out great violence, dozens of people murdered in Venezuela, and the continued plot to try to overthrow the revolutionary process. There's a key moment right now. In December 6th, National Assembly elections will take place, in which all the delegates to the National Assembly, the Parliament of Venezuela, will take place. And it's a serious point, because if the majority right-wing wins the seats of the National Assembly, they are planning to overturn much of which has been placed into law for the benefit of the majority of the Venezuelan people: housing, the nationalization of the oil industry, healthcare, free healthcare for the people. All of this is in danger if the majority right wing wins in the National Assembly. And that's why solidarity around the world is being gathered. People are planning actions. We're making a call for people to have protests and rallies from December 4th to 6th. There's a continent-wide call also for solidarity with Venezuela from Latin America. People around the world know the danger that Venezuela faces, and consequently all of Latin America. But solidarity means many, many things. Learning about the country, supporting them, visiting, expressing all ways of friendship, but especially for us in the U.S., denouncing what the U.S. government is doing, using tax dollars, weapons, all kinds of campaign against the Venezuelan process.
Mm-hmm. And you touched on something very important there. You mentioned some of the social games in Venezuela that have happened, and you know, I had the opportunity to be there twice. I've certainly seen that. Can you say a little bit about, for activists here in America, what are some of these gains that not only are so fantastic for the Venezuelan and Cuban people, but that perhaps, you know, we could learn from and fight for here, because they have a lot of universal applicability in my view?
Right. Well, you and I, Eugene, saw walking into a health clinic in Caracas, Venezuela, the people, many, many people waiting in the waiting room, about to be seen by doctor, nurse, to get completely free health care that, and looking at the audience, working class people would never have access before the presidency of Hugo Chavez and now Nicolas Maduro. Thanks to the solidarity between Cuba and Venezuela, we saw new housing projects. Venezuela is about to announce the completion of 1 million housing units in these 15 years for the benefit of the people, given free. Mm. People who lived in hovels, in shacks along the hillside that could, you know, completely collapse in rains because Caracas has very, very high mountains. So healthcare is free for anybody who needs it. Illiteracy was wiped out. Venezuela became the second country in the whole southern continent that was made literate thanks to Cuban teachers and the literacy campaign in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. So much progress to mention. We can't bring it all up. But the main one is one of independence, true self-determination, the control of their own resources, and the right to engage in trade, political relations with anyone they choose in the world, and to be a people truly free.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned medical gains, and I think one issue that, I don't know, maybe some people do know, but I think it's important for us to keep touching on, is the role Cuba plays internationally in healthcare, and really, I mean, I would say an unprecedented role in terms of really backstopping the entire healthcare systems of a lot of countries. Could you just speak about that a little bit?
Cuba's medical internationalism, that is sending doctors worldwide, began back in 1962 with the first team of Cuban doctors to Algeria during the time of the Algerian Revolution from French colonialism. And the interesting thing is that Cuba didn't have that many doctors at the time. When the Cuban Revolution triumph took place January 1st, 1959, out of 6,000 doctors that existed in Cuba, half of them, 3,000, left for the United States for what they hoped would be a life of privilege. And then there were 3,000 left. Well, it began an immediate medical education. Thousands of doctors were trained. And the fact that a team of doctors went to Algeria in 62 and since then has sent tens of thousands of doctors worldwide. There are some 34,000 doctors right now from Cuba in at least 72 countries in remote regions where no doctors are available in those countries. And people, the poor, the masses, the people appreciate greatly what Cuba has done. Traveling to the most dangerous areas in the Himalayas after the Pakistani earthquake, and Cuba's known worldwide for that. You know, I was in Louisiana, New Orleans, 6 days after the terrible tragedy of Katrina and the neglect of the U.S., and there were 1,100 Cuban doctors waiting in Havana, packed up with emergency hospitals, medical equipment, and they made an appeal to George Bush saying, we can be in New Orleans in 5 hours. We'll fly to Houston, drive to New Orleans. We want to help your people for free. You know, and they kept it quiet in order for George Bush to save face. And the U.S. refused. I think that example shows the stark reality of capitalist medical health care, where now we see this coming year of 2016, the health insurance companies, parasites in the United States, are planning to raise the cost of health care insurance from 35% to 50%, a real crime.
And, you know, in this country now, there's quite a bit of, the United States, that is, quite a bit of discussion around the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership and quote-unquote globalization. And in one of your earlier answers, you mentioned ALBA. And I was wondering if you could speak about sort of the ALBA model of unity between countries in a region.
Yes. In 2004 was a great ceremony between Cuba's President Fidel Castro and Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez, in which they signed an agreement for complete cooperation on an economic, social, and political basis between the two countries, and that initiated the the ALBA organization, ALBA standing for Bolivarian Alliance of the Peoples, and that was a counter, it was a response to the U.S. designs on Latin America, to the U.S. trying to create a so-called economic free trade zone of the whole continent where they would break down the barriers that Latin American countries have to protect their own economies. And the U.S. failed in that attempt. There was a very famous incident in 2005 in the fall of Argentina, in the autumn of in Argentina, where I was there. And Hugo Chavez, in November 2005, exactly 10 years ago, announced that the ALBA alliance was going to bury the FTAA, the Free Trade of the Americas, plot that the U.S. had. It was a great historical moment. It was actually this very week, 10 years ago. Mm. And I was there when Hugo Chavez says, we are going to bury ALCA, you know, FTAA in Spanish, and we're going to create our own unity. There were thousands of people cheering in Argentina when he said, and the first ship of oil solidarity is coming to the shore of Argentina. And that was such a tremendous development. Argentina's foreign debt at the time was wiped out by Venezuela's economic intervention. Venezuela has the largest oil reserves in the world, without a doubt. And it's something that has enabled the Caribbean countries to receive energy at extremely low prices or for barter with Venezuela. The doctors, teachers of Cuba, all of this solidarity within each other and economic integration, and they're planning to build that even more, versus the U.S. oil companies and the U.S. imperialist government wanting to take control of that oil, the resources of Bolivia, and all Latin America. That's why we are facing a very critical moment with Venezuela's upcoming National Assembly elections in December, in which the right wing hopes to take control of those resources for the benefit of their own rich elite class, which still exists, and the U.S. monopoly capitalists.
Mm-hmm. And in that regard, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, the Cuba-Venezuela Solidarity Committee really is hitting the ground running. So could you talk about two things? One, what you all are calling for in relationship to solidarity with Venezuela around the elections, and also what are some of the other things that you plan on doing or that people can do themselves if they'd like to get involved with you in the wake of the elections, because obviously you're not going to stop on December 6th.
Yes, and in fact, there's the reason there's also a danger for Venezuela is that the right wing has said they will not respect the outcome of the election if the Socialist United Party wins with its coalition. The right wing will say it was fraud. If the right wing wins, they will try to overturn all the benefits for the people. But then that the Cuba and Venezuela Solidarity Committee, which we have formed now in the United States, will continue. We're already receiving emails from people who've seen our Facebook page to say that they want to join in some remote cities in the U.S. who want to help organize. There has really been no mass mobilization and defense of Venezuela up till now, and we hope that with our committee, this will help inspire people in the U.S. to first learn about what's taking place in Venezuela, what the U.S. government is doing against it, and how we can help, because we do have the greatest responsibility in the world to put a break on U.S. aggression against any country. We're seeing wars, blockade, aggression, occupations, and it has to stop. And we can do much here with the new committee, the Cuba and Venezuela Solidarity Committee. In addition, already we have planned rallies and protests by different organizations, including ANSWER, in Los Angeles, New York City, San Francisco, Chicago, and that list will grow for the days of December 4th to 6th.
Mm-hmm. And just finally, could you let folks know where they can reach you if they heard this broadcast and would like to get involved?
In the same way that we organized for 13 years on behalf of the Cuban Five and fighting for their freedom, now the new Cuba and Venezuela Solidarity Committee has a great task before us, certainly to mobilize and call for mobilizations around the world in solidarity with Venezuela from the 4th to the 6th and any other day, but especially afterwards, because the struggle is not over, as you said. The U.S. plots and plans, along with the right wing of Venezuela, will continue, but so will the revolutionary process, and so will the mobilization of the people. Our committee has a wonderful array of social media now. Our website is cuba-venezuela.org. Our Twitter account is Cuba VENEZCTE. That won't be hard to find. And we do have a very prominent Facebook page.
You go into Facebook, you can see it. And, you know, you listed your website, which is cuba-venezuela.org, and I have it pulled up in front of me. All the social media information is up there, so folks can get engaged with you. And once again, we were joined by Gloria LaRiva, who is an activist with the new Cuba and Venezuela Solidarity Committee, among many other things. And we certainly are looking forward to talking with you again on Liberation Radio about all of these issues, particularly in the wake of your first set of actions. Gloria, thank you.
Thank you, Eugene.
What can I say? Let me explain this to you.